Here we go, more Benny Hinn.
Last year, ladies and gentlemen, a syndicated TV program called Inside Edition focused national attention on what is known as the faith and prosperity message of pastor and evangelist Benny Hinn. And the controversy surrounding this expose has spawned a poignant turn of events in Benny's life.
That's Pat Robertson, 700 Club, right? Pat Robertson, I don't know a whole lot about the fellow. I really don't. I don't know enough about the fellow to say anything about him. But if I heard this correctly the first time I listened to it, knowing that we are known by the company that we keep, he seems to be pretty fond of Benny.
And he's here to share more, and it's a pleasure to welcome back to the 700 Club from Orlando, Florida, a wonderful friend in the Lord, Benny Hinn. Benny, it's good to see you.
Thank you.
Controversy. What were they saying? What were you saying?
Well, Pat, I'll tell you. When I began in the ministry, I began because of a dear lady whom you, of course, knew, Catherine Kuhlman.
Very well.
And Catherine was a tremendous influence on my life, introduced me to the person of the Holy Spirit. And God, through her ministry, touched me in a great way. Of course, the ministry began in 74. And just recently, I guess people got to know who I am. And when the people came to do this program on me with Inside Edition, they focused on a lot of the things I was presenting, the healing ministry and so on and so forth. And of course, they didn't really touch on theology. Mm-hmm. They touched on my lifestyle.
Yeah? And?
But rather than reacting, I felt the Lord was using that to open my eyes. And, you know, everything that really happens in life happens for a purpose. Nothing happens by chance. And as a Christian, and as a minister especially, I felt it was important for me to be Christ-like in my response. And I just saw it as a lesson to become better.
Well, that's what, you know, the Bible says he takes the wrath of man and makes it praise him. The remainder he restrains. So part of it, praise the Lord.
What verse is that? I could exist. I've just never heard it before. It doesn't mean it's not in there.
Or the rest of it he restrained. But what were they going after? I mean, what was the thing in your life that you were doing or saying that maybe you're not doing or saying anymore?
Well, thank the Lord, no, I'm not. Frankly, they...
We'll see.
Focused first on the healings, on the miraculous, and they had a lady who was an actress come on the platform who said she was healed and really was not. That has made us more, let me say, it's made us smarter. Where now we are verifying miracles much more intense than we were before.
No explanation of the chicanery, no explanation for what he did, pretending to heal a woman with polio without knowing about it, putting it on TV. No apology for that. No explanation of that. But it's just getting better to make sure that things like that do not happen again.
They focus on my lifestyle. I was driving a Benz at one time, wore a Rolex watch.
Now he's just driving a BMW.
Because of a teaching that I'm going to talk about in just a second. And then the Lord said, sell the Benz, get rid of the watch.
God said that to you. That's funny. Why didn't you just read the Bible? It's right there in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9.
He said, what's more important, what you have or the souls of it that are watching you as my representative? The car is gone, the watch is gone, and a lot more has been gone since. Because I believe preachers, especially who represent the Lord, need to be so careful.
Have you seen his house in California?
Not only with what we say, but the way we are.
Yeah.
And of course, they also had mentioned to me, it was not on television, they didn't, you know, air this, the theological questions. Now, let me get and talk about the theology, which most people probably have heard about.
Now, this is good. This is actually very enjoyable, listening to this. Benny Hinn was into what we would call word of faith stuff, where some really radical, extreme stuff of God being lower than us, or God being lower, man being more exalted, a focus on man, manifesting things, making things happen by speaking them, believing in them, creating them yourself because you have faith. It's great denunciation of that theology. But remember, we know something now with 11 years of history from this interview. He hasn't changed anything. He continues to do the exact same thing. He looks straight at Pat Roberts, and he looks into the camera, and this, what you're going to hear is good teaching right now. I mean, he's about as sincere as, oh, I sure could use a simile right now.
Pat, you know, all of us have to grow. Sure. And all of us have to look at things again that we've believed. The earlier days of my life when I began preaching, as I said, you know, to you already, were influenced by Miss Kuhlman, people like Corrie ten Boom. The books I read in those days were people like Finney and Pink and a lot of the greats of the past that are well known.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that great? This is an interesting place to stop. Benny Hinn saying, I read people like Finney. Okay, we can argue about some of Finney's stuff, but nonetheless, theologically, lots of good stuff. A.W. Pink is who he said Pink. A.W. Pink is who he's referring to. He's a Puritan boy, rock solid teaching. Showing again, I don't think that we can say that any of these people are trying to be hoodwinkers. They are sincerely deceived themselves, and they are sincerely deceiving others. I do not believe that it is our job, I don't think it's biblical, to judge the intentions of false teachers. We can simply judge what they say, what they do. Motive, we have to leave that to God. And I think this is just further proof, just like we've heard about with Jim Baker. This guy probably started out great, reading A.W. Pink, wonderful stuff. And now he's knocking people over by blowing on them. You know, I guess we've got three options now. It's either the power of suggestion, it's the devil, or he just needs a breath ashore.
And then in the early 80s, when I moved to Orlando in 79, and in the early 80s I began my church, and you know, as a pastor, you need materials every Sunday. Mm-hmm. Sadly, in those days, I began looking into the teaching known today as the faith prosperity teaching. In those days, it was widely accepted. Some of the things that are being taught now were not taught then. Mainly back then, the confession teaching was strong and things like this. Today, the faith message has gone a little too far.
What is it saying, and what were you saying with the faith message?
Well, actually, what began to happen, Pat, is in the last few years, I began teaching things that really began to cause me problems, such as the little gods doctrine.
What's the little gods doctrine? Oh, glad you asked.
God came from heaven, became a man, made man into little gods, went back to heaven as a man. He faces the Father as a man. I face devils as the Son of God.
Uh-huh. So in other words, you're just a little god.
When you say I'm a Christian, you're saying I am Mashiach in the Hebrew. I'm a little Messiah walking on earth, in other words.
All right, nice confession. Nice confession from Benny, exposing the problems with the word of faith, the emphasis on faith. Let's continue to listen, knowing that he's lying. Or he's sincere, but he didn't follow through with any of this, as we'll hear in a bit.
This is a well accepted teaching today in many circles. Where really the focus has been taken off Jesus, in my opinion,
yes,
with this. Like with any truth, when truth is presented often, if it's not kept balanced, it can go way off and become error.
That's correct.
And that's what's happened here. Where faith now, suddenly it's no longer Jesus, the author of faith. It's faith, 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 and Jesus is nowhere in it.
Might I inject a word to pastors? And, well, frankly, I guess to any Christian. In the beginning of this interview with Pat Robertson, Pat Robertson said about Benny Hinn, oh, great brother in the Lord and great minute, whatever, ringing endorsement. And then throughout this interview, we're hearing how stunned Pat Robertson is that Benny was actually teaching the little God, I'm a Mashiach theology. Pastor, before you endorse anybody, Christian, before you endorse anybody and say, oh, that's a good preacher, you do well to really find out what they're up to. These days, oh boy, you've got people printing up books, you've got people cranking out videos, you've got people doing programs. You better find out an awful lot before you throw your name behind them, because you could find yourself like Pat Robertson going, yikes.
It's faith in faith rather than faith in God.
I hear you. All right.
And when Jesus is taken out, you'll have disasters. And sadly, a lot of precious people have been misled by this. The little God's doctrine, which is a part of the... When you say the faith message today, you're no longer talking about confession only. You're talking about way more than confession.
What are you talking about?
You're talking about Jesus dying spiritually. You're talking about the little God's doctrine.
Tell me this little God. We are little gods. Is that it? I said you're gods unto whom the word of God came. Is that it?
Yeah, no, it's gone a little farther than that.
It's gone way farther.
God came from heaven, became a man, made man into little gods.
That's the little God doctrine.
Other than that?
Yes, sir. It's become where you depend on self.
Come on.
You are your own boss. It's like I said, the focus comes off Jesus onto you. It's no longer dying to self. It's no longer crucifying self. It's no longer letting Jesus be
good stuff there.
The head. Yeah. You become your own man.
Benny's got it. There's not a lot of preachers today that talk about dying to self. Benny did read A.W. Pink. He did read Finney. I'll bet he read Spurgeon and Tozer. Jonathan Edwards. I wonder if he was reading his Bible a lot, but nonetheless, he's got it right. I wonder if Benny himself had ever repented and put his trust in Jesus Christ. Motives? Don't know, but boy, is this boy off the track.
Controlling your future, it's all me and self. I heard a man say years ago that he looked in the mirror every day and told himself how great he was. And that was a well-known preacher. And he told me that privately.
Well, I look in the mirror and I tell myself what a great sinner I am and how I don't deserve anything, you know?
But you see, Pat, what has sadly happened to me and happens with many and is happening with many still is they forget it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit.
Sure.
Self becomes the all-important one.
Well, what about this business about Jesus dying spiritually is an absolute heresy. There's no such thing in the Bible that indicates Jesus was the Son of God. God doesn't die. God doesn't die spiritually. That's
exactly
nonsense.
Right.
He died physically, and then he was raised again. His body died.
Exactly right. But you see, back to what I was saying earlier,
all right.
when you take Jesus out and you put everything on self, then suddenly you become the important one.
Yeah.
As you listen to this, you're thinking, boy, the next time Benny shows up, he's going to be a Bible-banging preacher. Uh-uh. To the contrary, he's still up to his tricks, and we're going to hear that at 5 o'clock when Ole Anthony joins us. Also, can't pursue this today. Would love to, but we can't pursue this thought today. Based on what Benny just said, I was deceived and deceiving. Well, he didn't go as far as saying deceiving, but he was tricked. He had fallen off the track. Right there, Benny should be done. He, 1 Timothy 3, has lost his ability to be a preacher, although I'm not sure where he got his theology degree or who ordained him, but nonetheless, he should have been done. Right there. But it doesn't seem to work that way anymore. You get yourself a TV show, you call yourself a pastor, I guess you're a pastor.
You want to bring Jesus down to your level rather than you coming to his level.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened with me is the influence changed on my life for a few years. And influence is strong, very strong. The Bible says one sinner destroyeth much good. Just one man can influence someone to go the wrong way.
I think he's misquoting, sort of quoting wrong, 1 Corinthians, 15? A bad company corrupts good character, I think.
And we young preachers, listening to the preachers that have been known for so long to be great preachers, and if these men say something, you say, oh, that must be God. You begin teaching it. Then you see the emptiness of it. A dear lady whom I have known for years and years and years, a Lutheran dear lady, was born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, began a very balanced Christian life,
mm-hmm.
like most people do, began listening to this teaching. It got so bad where I was in her house one day with my wife, and I said, oh, look at your skin. You're bleeding all over. And she said, she actually said this, she said, well, I don't see it. I said,
Just so you know, that's what it's about. Don't see it, don't acknowledge it, because if you put that out there, that metaphysical Christianity, you put your faith or your attitude or your brainwaves out there, well, then it could make it so. So ignore it, but just don't think it, and then it won't happen.
Well, or I'm blind, or you're not telling me the truth. That's what I mean, you don't see it. I mean, you could see it on her arm. She's bleeding. And I said to my wife, something is wrong here. Well, every morning she would listen to this faith, 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 where you won't admit that you got a problem, you know. Now, cancer struck her body shortly after. So my wife and I went to her home and said, please, don't play games with this. Mm-hmm. You can't, faith does not deny fact, you know.
Sure.
I mean, nobody came to the Lord one day and said, well, I'm not blind, but please heal me just in case. They came and said, I'm blind, I have a problem.
That's right.
But when the cancer hit, and we went over to our house and said, you know, please go see a doctor. You know what her response was?
What was that?
I won't admit it. I won't confess it. I said, look, confess it, not confess it, admit it. That thing is there.
Yeah.
Well, she died. And her family was broken. And that's...
Well, these men are teaching this, that you cannot confess anything that is wrong. I mean, if you don't have any money, you don't have any money. And you can confess the riches of God to supply, but you have to start with the problem. This is a denial of reality.
What's tragic about that is that's exactly what Benny does. You're healed. Don't worry about it. I mean, it's... different side of the same coin is exactly what he's doing. Now, coming up next with Benny Hinn in this interview with Pat Robertson, and we'll see how sincere this little apology is in just a bit. Benny, and again, Pat should have tagged him on this. Benny starts talking about how he gets messages from God, and God spoke to him, and then you'll hear exactly what God said to Benny, and Pat should have stopped him and said, all that doesn't work that way. We'll come back with Benny Hinn, the false teacher du jour, here on False Teacher Tuesday on Talk the Walk, AM 980 KKMS More, Spirited Talk Radio. Talk the Walk on AM 980 KKMS More, Spirited Talk Radio. Lovely confession now from Benny Hinn, sitting down with Pat Robertson in 1993, 1994, after Inside Edition with Bill O'Reilly busted him. And now he's denouncing all of his doctrines, all of the word faith stuff. It's all very bad, Pat. And listen to the genuineness, listen to the sincerity. Oh, we've got to get rid of this. This is bad stuff. People just not wanting to go see a doctor because they think that they're going to be healed all by themselves. Oh, it's terrible. And yet it is exactly what he continues to do. Let's go back to Benny Hinn being interviewed by Pat Robertson.
Pat, exactly right. And it's because, in my opinion, it's because Jesus has been taken out of the focus. Mm-hmm. He is our faith.
Well, you know, the Apostle Paul said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
That is the glory
exactly.
of us all.
Exactly.
And he said, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. And, you know, I'll endure all these things for the sake of the elect. That's what the Bible says.
Well, I want to know something that's happened to me that I'm so thrilled about.
What?
Is what the Lord began to do in me about 2 years ago. See, sadly, like I said, I've taken a detour in my life.
You were into some pretty nutty things. I mean, things you were saying were really off the wall.
Well,
if I can, you know, excuse my saying that. I mean, it was in your books. Huh?
Feel free.
it was.
You know, we sadly do that in life. I did it, yes, and I'm not proud of it, but I'm...
Sorry?
Open enough to say I was wrong.
Sorry?
Because you've come back to the cross.
Sorry.
That's where we
exactly.
all ought to be. You're
what,
back to the
I tell
cross
you what,
of Jesus.
Here's what got me back, Pat. The Lord's been very gracious to me, very merciful to me.
Yeah.
The anointing has not left my life.
Sure.
Even during that one time in my life, God did not lift his presence because God is patient.
Mm-hmm.
He's long-suffering. He's gentle. But the Lord began speaking to me very clearly about 2 years ago.
Okay, that's when Pat should have said, he did what? The Lord started, huh? How's that work?
And spoke one thing to me. He said, get back to your calling.
He did?
Yeah.
Simple. And one evening in prayer, God spoke, I mean very clearly spoke, and said, if you do not, you'll have 3 years. That's what he said to me. I mean, it was as clear as I'm talking to you.
And Pat Robertson goes, whoa. That's something. Problem is, God doesn't do that.
He said, if you'll not get back to your calling, what I called you to do, Benny, you'll have 3 years. Frankly, he said, in 3 years, 3 years from now, no one would even remember you.
Well, wouldn't that be tragic? Because after all, it's all about Benny.
Unless you get back to your calling.
Yes.
Well, that shook me up.
Of course.
And I'm very grateful to the Lord that he has been loving enough to come and warn me.
Do you really think that God would say, hey, Benny, you need to amend your ways or nobody will remember you? If, and that's a big if God were going to speak, I think it'd be more something more like, hey, stop. I'm God. I get the glory. Not you, you coat-waving, hand-flapping, blowing on people and knocking them down charlatan. Stop it. I get the attention, not you.
And that's when I said, Lord, anything you say, I'll do.
Praise the Lord.
And he said, get back to what I... Now, what God called me to do, Pat, yes, is introduce his spirit, bring people into his presence.
You know what Pat could have said? You know what, Benny, that's great. That's great. First of all, you should lose your ministry. But if you refuse, why don't you come back here in 5 years? And let's see if you've been faithful. Before we praise the Lord together, good. You should do that. You should amend your ways. Come back in 5 years, and we'll see if we can still say praise the Lord together.
Salt his son.
Yes.
Preach the gospel. He didn't come to teach faith, yeah, or prosperity. And this is where people go wrong.
Let's see if Benny has changed his ways. Mm-hmm.
They lose sight of what God really called them to do.
Yes.
You teach something because someone teaches it, and you get into a mess. Finally, you have to say, where is Jesus in all this?
Yeah.
And when you get back, you think, where have I been?
By the way, do you hear any reference to him saying that we need to go into the Word, we need to see what the Bible says, we need to see what the Scriptures say? That's what we need to be preaching.
What have I done? Now, the anointing hasn't left my life, thank the Lord. But the presence of God has become richer,
praise
deeper,
God,
sweeter. Oh. There's more substance. See? Now, the area of prosperity is the same thing. People go off from prosperity because they're seeking prosperity, while they will not admit in the Scriptures itself, we find poor saints.
Yes.
See, now, these saints were poor, but God took care of them. Mm-hmm. The Bible says, I have not seen the righteous forsaken or received begging bread. Elijah was not a rich man, but mm-hmm. God fed him with a raven.
That's right.
The Lord wasn't rich. Yeah. The apostles were not rich.
Yeah.
But God takes care of his own.
With 11 years of history, this is stunning. This is stunning. Is there anything more annoying than having somebody that you know look you straight in the face and lie to you?
But prosperity has a whole different meaning now out there in many circles. It means money. It means big cars, big homes. It means wealth, earthly, worldly wealth. That's not biblical. The Bible's definition of prosperity is where God is taking care of you as he takes care of the lilies,
yes,
and the birds of the,
yes,
air.
Yes.
That's true prosperity.
Amen.
It's when there's peace within. Catherine used to say the richest man without Jesus is poor.
Yes.
And the poorest man with Jesus is rich. Well, that's prosperity. So
I'm sitting here looking at a modern day picture of Benny Hinn. I'm not exactly sure what type of watch it is that he has on his wrist, but it sure doesn't look cheap.
I'm glad I'm back.
Well,
I just pray many people will be back also.
You engage mm-hmm. in some pretty flamboyant things in your ministry. Is that still going on, some of the
no.
things?
Pat, you know, it's like I said earlier, when the focus is no longer the Lord, and you don't do it intentionally. I never have. I never mm-hmm. did purposely. I love the Lord too much to hurt him and grieve him purposely.
You know what? I'd have to believe him. Okay. I'd have to believe him, because we can't judge the heart. I'll just have to take the confession of his mouth. But he sure did. I mean, he sure did make a mess of things, still does.
And intentionally. I mean, even now, I've become more careful with everything. But the thing that happened was where I throw my coat on people. Now, I'm not against, obeying the Holy Spirit. Of course, never.
Yeah.
But when the focus is taken off the Lord and is on your coat, you're in trouble. And that's all the Lord said to me. He said, get the focus back on me. Not on your coat or on your blowing or on your whatever, on your methods, on your actions. So to me, Jesus came and said, Benny, bring me back into your theology and your life.
Hey, I can't tell you what a joy it is to hear
and
this.
And that's all I've done.
Yeah.
that. And yeah. The thing is, I have become, I tell you, I mean, I can right now break down and cry, but I won't. I have become so satisfied with my life. I mean, if Jesus would take away from me everything I got,
yeah.
The only thing I've said, don't ever take away, Lord, is your presence. That's all that's become really important to me.
Praise.
I mean, I don't care if he takes my house away.
Yeah.
Just leave a roof on my head. If he takes everything I have, just take it. It's a death.
Amen.
Now, sadly, mm-hmm. and maybe in a way, I could be thankful for going off. Really, I'm not, but you know, you learn from it.
Did you hear two little tips about him? Did you hear that? Thankfully, I'm not going off the air because, you know, this is really all about staying on the air. It's all about the TV show. The anointing hasn't left. Don't worry, the anointing hasn't left, and hopefully you won't leave me either. That's really what this is about.
Sure.
The fact that I've learned there are dangers.
Uh-huh.
Now, I'm going to tell you, and maybe preachers are watching me and they need to hear this, but I've had ministers, big ministers, come to me and say, tell me what has happened to you. One of them said, I find no substance in my ministry. I said, well, the substance is Jesus. Get back to Jesus.
Yes.
You'll find it.
Yes, amen.
And, you know, they lose vision of what God called them to do, as I have. They don't lose their... You know, God is very gracious. He'll not lift his anointing till you totally willfully reject.
Yeah, that's right.
What he's called you to do. But what you do is you lose vision. You're not sure where you're going. You're doing it because somebody else is doing it. You're teaching it because somebody else is teaching. Or you're teaching the most popular thing that's being taught, mm-hmm. when God may not even be in it.
Benny, we thank God for you and what he's done in your life.
Well, I do want to say to the people that I have offended, please forgive me. I really didn't mean it. At the same time, pray for me that I'll stay close to the Lord.
Televangelism is a $2 billion a year industry, and one of the hottest stars in religious broadcasting is Pastor Benny Hinn. Millions of people watch him on TV. You can see him here in Chicago on Channel 38. Tonight, in a News Extra, Channel 2's Pam Zechman takes us on a leap of faith
bye, bye, bye.
That includes millions of dollars and a man some call a holy hustler.
Every empty inch, bring it up here.
They come by the thousands to sing, to pray, to weep, to be overcome by the Spirit of the Lord. They come seeking miracles, and Pastor Benny Hinn gives them what they want.
It's interesting, Benny, in that little clip with Pat. We've got to get back to Jesus. We've got to get back to Jesus. And indeed he does. This miracle is courtesy of Jesus. Jesus is going to hear you. Jesus is going to give you money. Jesus is going to get you out of your wheelchair. Jesus is going to cure your cancer. So he thinks he's getting back to Jesus. But he's not. This reminds me, there's an awful lot of people out there who can preach Jesus Christ, but they're really enemies of the cross. Mm-mm-mm-mm-mm.
12 empty wheelchairs in the first few minutes of the service!
In crusades from coast to coast, Hinn preaches the power of God to heal cancer, make the deaf hear, and the blind see.
How many fingers?
Five.
Millions more see the healings on television. Some call him the miracle man. But critics, even those who believe in faith healing, are questioning Hinn's methods and his miracles.
I command you, spirit of deafness, in Jesus' name, come out!
These two brothers from Chicago, born profoundly deaf, were declared healed. A third brother, also deaf, was supposedly healed even though he wasn't there.
In proxy, his mama is standing, and I break the curse of deafness on her son.
That's pretty exciting, but there's one problem. The boys are still deaf.
Wow.
At our request, a school audiologist tested them.
The boys continue to have the same hearing loss that we've been measuring for years.
No miraculous healing.
No miraculous healing.
I believe he's committing fraud in the name of God.
Ole Anthony runs a televangelist
Anderson.
Watchdog group. He says healings should not be televised unless they're medically verified.
All of the desperate people in America see these phonied miracles. And the implication, if they send money, then God's going to give them a miracle. It infuriates me.
The Benny Hinn Ministries, headquartered here in Orlando, Florida, reportedly grossed $15 million last year. Those are tax-free dollars because it's a religious organization.
I am not in this for money. We need need the donations to pay for airtime. Simple.
After 2 months of refusing an interview, Hinn says God told him to talk to me, but he wouldn't reveal his personal income, reportedly more than $500,000 a year from salary and tape and book royalties.
What are your royalties?
I won't tell you. Well, I'm not going to share this. That's private. It's personal.
But the miracles that inspire millions to send money are public. Hinn says he no longer declares people healed. He lets them do it.
Brings up an interesting question. Should a pastor be forced to disclose his income? Is that fair game? In order for the sake of the gospel, be willing to say, hey, this is how much I make every year. Should a pastor have to do that? Or, as Benny said, is that personal? Now, let's say, you know, Benny's a bad example because he's making tons of dough. We know that for a fact. But should a regular pastor just to say, hey, just want you to know I'm not a false teacher because I only make whatever, $1,000 per year, would that be something that we should force them to do? Just a thought.
We don't mislead anyone, Pam. If someone comes up and says they're healed, we don't call them liars.
If it's a healing, the healing should be verifiable by a medical doctor.
Hinn promised critics he'd get medical proof of healings before televising them, but he couldn't provide medical verification of any of the six Chicago cases we asked about.
Doctors will never tell you that they've been healed.
Yeah.
Let's just put that on hold for a moment. We've got another report coming out of Chicago on Benny. Has he changed his ways? Talk the walk.